You could have the perfect fabric simulation, but if you don't really, you know, track moving people very well, if you don't have the right way to scale the items to different body shapes, it really won't help.
Hello, everybody. Emma here, your host of the Interline podcast. The last couple of shows have covered sustainability, both in practice and from a technology point of view. But today, we're targeting a different topic. For this episode, I talked to Maxime Raycrud, Chief Product Officer at Zero10, which offers real-time augmented reality try-on experiences designed to empower brands to engage their audiences. According to Zero10's own research, storefronts that incorporate AR try-on experiences can see up to 9 times greater consumer engagement than they might have done with traditional video advertising, and up to 3 times higher store traffic. This makes virtual try-on not just a potential way to reduce returns, but also a broader play into acquiring and captivating consumers. But for all that potential, virtual try-on is still a contested space. So on my conversation with Maxime, we cover the wider fashion market's readiness for AR and what consumers actually want from the technology. We talk about the challenges virtual try-on faces in not just believability and accuracy, but privacy, data protection, and compliance. And we even get into how Zero10 is thinking about its AI developments and what that could mean for the broader industry. Over now to my conversation with Maxime of Zero10. Maxime, it's so exciting to have you on the show today. Thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate your time. I am your host, Emma, and let's get into these questions with Maxime from Zero10. So if you could begin by introducing yourself, talking a little bit about the career path that led you into fashion technology, as well as a little bit about what your day looks like as the CPO at Zero10.
Absolutely. It's lovely to be here and to have an opportunity to tell your listeners more about the world of augmented reality in the fashion industry and fashion technology. So as mentioned earlier, my name is Maxime Raycrud, and I am the CPO at Zero10. I have been a product manager and been in digital tech for over 10 years, one way or another. I used to work for companies like Citymapper, but also for some fashion tech companies that say did size prediction, and also for some very science heavy startups. And I have been with Zero10 since March 2022. So 2 years now. It's been a wonderful journey. I think overall, I've always been interested in fashion one way or another, and I've always been interested in tech. And this sort of has led to me being in several startups and companies that did fashion tech. And I think my experience at Zero10 has been so far the ultimate experience in this, because it actually allowed me to take part in shaping the future of fashion technology and to be on the very frontier of the next big things in tech. So day-to-day of a Zero10 CPO, really, that's quite a lot of things to do. Of course, we have a fantastic product team, we have a fantastic tech team, so I don't have to do everything myself. We have people focused on different aspects of our business, people working on, say, the management tools, people working on the B2C experiences, people working on the AI side of things that we already have in place, and so on. And my job is to basically formulate the strategy, make sure that we are doing the right thing for our clients and for their clients, to help teams achieve their goals, to set these goals, you know, basic stuff. And of course, there's always some hands-on work, because we are very much about providing the perfect client experience. So whenever our clients want something out of the box, something new, something unusual, we just, you know, help them do as much as could be possibly done.
Absolutely. And I wonder, this kind of job probably didn't exist 15 years ago. So it's really quite awesome that you get to do it today. So good for you. And before we go any further, I think I want to pin something down. How do you define virtual try-on and augmented reality AR? What should these things accomplish, in your opinion, for which channels in order to be a success?
Okay, well, that one is, of course, I mean, like any question of terminologies, one of the hardest, but we'll just go with our definition and the stuff that we use. First of all, virtual try-on could encompass a lot of different technologies. It could be done using augmented reality. It could be done with some other tech. It has, in some ways, been done even as early as late 90s, one way or another. Augmented reality is a way to introduce bits that don't really exist into the world that already exists. So one very simple example of that would be something that everyone has seen on, say, Instagram or Snapchat, all of the filters, all of this like face masks, a lot of things like this. That's AR, but also, of course, all of the normal web AR or just, you know, AR stuff like being able to place furniture in your room and so on. So that's AR, augmented reality, when you introduce something that's not real into the reality, and it's not a separate virtual experience, but it just becomes part of the world that you see through some sort of lens. We think, of course, that virtual try-on could accomplish a lot of different things in many different channels. So we have, of course, apps like Snapchat or TikTok, and that is mostly about, you know, providing worldwide reach. It's about providing engagement opportunities, less so about, you know, the perfect try-on experiences, of course, because the technology is not quite there. We have, say, the retail channel where augmented reality try-on could be providing utility, could be providing engagement, but could also be competing with traditional advertising, and that's also great. So, I mean, there's obviously e-commerce, and in e-commerce, virtual try-on is able to significantly decrease the number of returns that are based on the style preferences and many other things like this, and of course drive the engagement and drive the conversion rates. So I think there are so many opportunities that it's pretty hard to, you know, talk about all of them in one sentence.
Of course, I understand that, but you've done a good job anyway in doing that. And just touching on that answer that you've just given, where are we currently on the journey to market readiness and for more widespread consumer adoption of what you've described? What do shoppers want AR virtual try-on to deliver, and how close are we, or how close are you, to being able to offer it?
Okay, so this one is very interesting. I think that we definitely see that, I mean, there obviously are a lot of projects happening. So, say, Zeroturn, we're doing augmented reality mirrors, we're doing some web try-on experiences. There are players like, say, Warner, who are also doing a lot of like web try-on experiences, a lot of shoe try-on experiences out there. And yet, I think that we are at the earliest possible stages of consumer adoption. So despite the number of projects, it hasn't even started yet. And I think that that's really incredible, because that shows us that there is so much opportunity in this market. Shoppers want it to be convenient. They want it to be seamless. Companies want it to be high quality, wanted to reflect the quality of their items, wanted to reflect their physical properties. And of course, this has been a challenge for some originally, but I think we basically are at the earliest possible stage yet.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. I think there's still a long way to go, but have to start somewhere. So, and already what you've done, you know, it seems mature for what it is. But this leads me to my next question, which is around why you think fashion hasn't quite reached the same trajectory as AR shopping in other categories. So for example, like consumer tech and furniture, you know, we've been able to visualize a sofa or a smart speaker in our living room for what feels like a long time. So, you know, is this around the fact that garments are made from soft materials? And there's a technical challenge there in terms of representing something that's accurate and visually compelling. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say that there are a lot of factors at play here. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, rigid objects that, you know, are just little boxes one way or another, or at least, you know, they're objects that don't really move, are easier to showcase in augmented reality. But fashion has more challenges than just, you know, having to simulate the fabric, than just having to have the right flow of materials, which I think has been a big challenge, by the way. And there are companies that have managed to come very close to having, the best quality in the market right now. And I have to say, like, that our development team has worked very hard on this. But I think that's not all. So you could have the perfect fabric simulation, but if you don't really, you know, track moving people very well, if you don't have the right way to scale the items to different body shapes, it really won't help. So I think there is a lot of opportunity here still for perfection. And also in fashion, I think the clients are very, very, very particular about the quality. And therefore, we're only just now, I mean, like, only last year, we have started seeing, say, handbag try-on. We were one of the first companies that did this with, say, Coach, and then later last year, Oraton in Australia. I think even these categories have been quite challenging because they are still on the human body. So, you know, they still move. The actual bag has to move along with your body. It has to move fluidly. So all of these have been very, very hard to make right. But I think we are almost there. And depending on the client, we might actually even be there already.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I wanted to touch on what you said about the customer and the difficulty when it comes to not dealing with them, but, you know, there are a lot of factors when it comes to dealing with people. And of course, fashion is about, you know, apparel for people. So when it comes to virtual try-on and importing a 3D model of, say, a sofa into your living room, it really doesn't require the same amount of privacy, data protection, and compliance that you need to do a body mapped virtual try-on for apparel. So how big of a challenge is that whole element around user privacy? And in the scenario where virtual try-on is rolled out for a brand or retailer's customers, who is the responsible party when it comes to data governance?
This one is really interesting because I think, like, on one hand, I agree. On the other hand, it doesn't really matter that much. So I'll explain.
Please.
So basically, yes, it definitely is a lot more privacy sensitive matter. And there is a lot more opportunity for foul play here. But when done right, augmented reality try-on of clothes doesn't really require any personal data. And the companies that do this right and the companies that don't try to be malicious actors generally can do this without saving, well, almost any personal data. And I could explain how. So body tracking is done on device. Simulation is done on device. So say with our technology, at least we know for sure that it could work without sending any personal data outside of the actual device, which I think is great. But of course, you have to, you know, if you are looking for a vendor to provide these experiences, you have to look for companies that actually do this right. But thankfully, obviously, we have GDPR, which is the EU legal framework to ensure that the private data stays private. We have certifications like ISO 27001 to ensure the data security. When we work with clients, we work with big corporate clients. They ask us for data flow diagrams, which we're always very happy to provide. And in our particular case, the only two scenarios where personal data is necessary for it to function, but then still it is fully protected by all, like, legislation compliant procedures, is when we do a photo-based try-on on the web and when we use the photo capture online. And that's only because, you know, we have to serve the image back on the web. And of course, that couldn't really be done without having it on the web accessible one way or another. So Yeah, but basically, it is a complicated matter. But if you ensure that your vendors, and I'm pretty sure all of the other vendors in the market also have the same sort of compliance in place, then it's perfectly safe. It's perfectly fine. And then it just falls down to the, you know, to the vendor to tell your customers that this is fully private, fully secure. There's no need to worry. Here's the privacy policy. Here's how you could delete your data, if even if you choose to send any data. And of course, you know, given all I just said, the responsible party when it comes to data governance is the vendor, is the supplier. It's never the customer and it's never the brand or retailer, because obviously no one wants to get any extra responsibility when they install a new service or, you know, install a new experience in retail. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's reassuring. It really is reassuring. And I want to move away from that kind of serious talk to something about more along the lines of how AR is fun. I want to mention that, you know, aside from all of those concerns, I'm sure that everyone listening has at some stage has had a fun experience with AR, whether it was to do with fashion or not. Could have been, you know, Pokemon Go. I think that was my first kind of knowledge of AR and on a widespread level, at least. And we know that this kind of fun can translate into engagement, but that's quite a short-term thing. How do you think that brands and retailers should be thinking about AR and virtual try-on, delivering a deeper long-term return on investment? It doesn't seem that easy to take these kind of activations and really measure what they achieve beyond bringing digital native shoppers into brick and mortar stores.
Well, first, I'll have to disagree with you on it being short-term only. We all know that, say, there are digital screens in almost, well, not almost all, but quite a few retailers nowadays choose to have them in-store, ranging from premium to luxury, maybe even from mass market to luxury, really. It's all ends of the spectrum. And we do see that digital screens work surprisingly well, despite, you know, probably not being particularly exciting. And yet they still provide engagement many years after they have been first introduced. We obviously don't react to it being a TV and going, wow, but it attracts attention still. So I disagree with the fact that engagement is a short-term thing. But of course, there are many longer-term opportunities. And I think that's what makes this technology great, because it does give you this first boost, and then you could bring it to do a lot more. We have successfully worked with our clients to do a lot more in-depth measurements than one might think about. So it's definitely a lot more than just bringing digital native shoppers, you know, to offline. I think there is a lot of work at hand when it affects the brand perception, when it helps with you know, attracting the right audiences, with targeting better. But of course, apart from all of these traditional marketing use cases, which I think are very, very, very good and very competent, there is the utility opportunity. And I think utility opportunity is absolutely incredible here, because AR mirrors could deliver a lot of things that otherwise couldn't really be done without having the stock. And we all know that it's very, I mean, obviously it takes time and effort to store the extra SKUs in store. And given that some brands want to like be doing smaller, more experiential retail spaces, they definitely will have even less space to store the SKUs, but they still want to sell the full collections. AR mirrors could be useful here. AR mirrors could provide a way to buy something that doesn't, you know, that's not available in this particular store. We could essentially build, you know, endless aisle systems with AR mirrors. And we have been doing tests around that, and it has been very cool so far. There is also one of our ultimate goals, which of course is to create a store that is fully driven by an AR mirror, because for many product categories, augmented reality try-on is already good enough and already high quality enough to drive an actual purchase at the right price points, of course. We have been doing some experiments with doing just that. So using AR mirror to let people try on things and then order them. has been really cool so far. So yeah, I think there is a lot of utility-based scenarios in the future, scenarios based around extending the available stock, doing e-commerce-style fulfillment from offline spaces, a lot of AI-based opportunities in the future too, like, you know, product recommendations and so on. So I think, you know, engagement is a great, nice boost first. Then it goes to, you know, affect the actual marketing metrics. But then it could and does actually affect the sales, which I think is incredible.
Oh, that's all fair enough. Thanks for explaining. It makes a lot of sense what you described about the short term as well as the long term. And you touched on what I want to ask you about next, which is AI. The Interline has a deep dive report on the AI due this spring. So it's very much on our mind, and we're talking to a lot of people in the fashion technology space around AI. And I wanted to ask you whether it makes sense, which you actually have said already, whether it makes sense to integrate AI into virtual try-on and how this works. So when we spoke to you before the show, you mentioned to us that you have a team working on what you call the holy grail of virtual try-on and Gen AI. Tell me, what are you aiming for there? How are you incorporating AI into your products? And how far do you think it could move the needle on a wider adoption of AR try-on?
So, okay. AI is one of my favorite topics at the time, and I think that applies to quite a few other people out there. So there is a lot of opportunity for AI in fashion retail. We all know this, I think. And for us, what we see as the people who specialize in visualizing and providing nice experiences is that, well, of course, we do have a team of people working on generative AI try-on. We have published on our blog on 010.ar, we have published some findings and some, you know, mid-project reports on the state of AI try-on, which I think is absolutely incredible. And I think we will eventually have a way to try on items onto the customers without having any 3D assets, which is, of course, very useful for quite a few categories of our clients. I mean, we're talking marketplaces, we're talking companies that do short runs, we're talking about companies that have not yet embraced digital product creation pipelines. And that's incredible. That's great. But AI could also be used to provide more customized experiences. It could be providing product recommendations. It could be, and that's also something that we have been doing internally, working essentially as a virtual sales assistant. So yeah, there are a lot of really cool opportunities here.
Yeah, I'm sure this is a topic where you could speak on it forever. So I appreciate your succinct answer, because it is one of the most exciting topics at the moment in fashion and in the wider kind of world. So that's awesome to hear. You mentioned a little bit about DPC, and we've also spoken slightly about utility. We at the Interline are quite passionate about DPC, and we have a report that we've done for the past 2 years covering 3D and DPC. And looking back at what we've covered over the past years, there has been a common theme when it comes to the desire and drive to extend the utility of the value of digital assets to new endpoints like virtual stores and other consumer-facing use cases. Do you see virtual try-on as a new endpoint for that DPC ecosystem? And what does it look like to get these digital assets from 3D design tools into AR experiences like these?
Well, it's not that I see that as a new endpoint. It already is an extra endpoint in the DPC ecosystem. So we have been very, very lucky to work with companies that have embraced this approach one way or another. And in many of our projects, we have already been reusing the assets that have been created before us. So it wasn't just, you know, a scanned model or something. It came from the client who already had the asset, which I think is incredible. I'm a big proponent of digital-first product creation. I think there is a great opportunity in there. Of course, it's obviously not as easy to do as we all would love it to be, but there are companies that are doing digital-first product creation right now already, and it's a pleasure to work with companies like this. And I think that not just Air Mirror, okay, let's be honest, augmented reality try-on, one way or another, could be used not just at the, say, retail e-commerce stages of this process, because we have already worked at earlier stages. We have done wholesale projects where buyers could come into the showrooms and try on items that have not been produced yet, but they do have the 3D models for them, of course, and they do have the blueprints. Our team helped make them suitable for AR, but still, like, it's an early stage of a product and you could try it on. It's incredible. And if you think of it that way, it could be applied at even earlier stages of a pipeline that embraces digital product creation. And with augmented reality try-on, you could actually be trying on items as soon as you make your first drafts in Clo, Browseware, Style 3D, whatever it is that you're using, which I think is an incredible opportunity, because that will cut down on the, you know, pre-production costs, on all of the wait times to see, you know, to wait until the item is produced. And of course, it will be a lot more immersive and a lot more cool, I have to say this, than, you know, just standard avatar try on.
For sure. That makes a lot of sense. As we move to the last segment of this wonderful interview, we're now speaking a lot about how 010 partners with brands and retailers to offer B2B solutions, like you've just been talking about, for AI try-on. There is a second prong to your business, which is giving emerging designers, individual creators, and other users open access to 3D and AR tools to support and empower fashion design. What do you think the impact of AR and also AI potentially will be on the next generation of creatives?
Well, I would say that we already are seeing the impact, and we already are seeing the next generation of creatives. So the digital native creatives, the creatives that are not really bound by any limitations of the traditional production methods, the necessity to make something real, because they could think completely out of the box. And unlike some of the previous generations where they could create this fantastical garment, but they couldn't really wear it, you know, it would be somewhere on an avatar, it would be somewhere in a digital world. Now they could actually wear these things. And I think there has been a lot of creative thinking about creating items that would say, complement the physical garments, the creating items that would work for particular occasions, creating items that would look particularly well on socials. We have been seeing a lot of these incredibly cool new things. And I think we will be seeing a lot more of that later on. So obviously AI has been playing a big role in what the people are doing. I think AI has helped them work a lot better with, say, texturing or even brainstorming new ideas. If you have ever tried to play with image creation tools like DALL-E 3 or Midjourney to create new garments, it could really help you create something incredibly cool. And I think, you know, the combination of AI for ideation, for brainstorming, and AR for actually wearing that is going to make it even cooler.
Absolutely. That combination, I think, is going to be really what moves the industry forward in the way that you're working towards. And I do have to agree with you. I think for designers, it hopefully is not taking away their creativity, but opening even more doors and allowing imaginations to blossom. So it's nice to hear you say that. Thank you so much for your time today, Maxim. It's been really a delight speaking to you. I want to know, what is next for you at 010? Is there anything in particular that you would like to see the company do? Or do you have knowledge about some longer term plans for 010 that you are able to share?
Well, there are so many things to do that it's hard for me to give you a quick answer. So again, I'll try to keep it concise. But of course, first, we are exploring other use cases outside of the world of fashion, which is incredible, because despite our technology being particularly well tailored for fashion, we have been able to create some incredibly immersive projects already. So say last December, we worked with Warner Brothers on projects connected with Aquaman 2 release, which was an incredible opportunity. And we also are currently part of a project. We have done the project, but it's a collaboration between Macy's and Disney that's running in the Macy's flagship in New York City, which is slightly outside of the world of fashion because it allows children to try on Disney princess dresses. And that's sort of like slightly outside of it. Also, in many ways, still the world of fashion, of course. And we're seeing a lot of opportunity there as well, like in that direction. And apart from... Oh, yep, sorry.
No, you go ahead. It sounds like this expansion is in a different kind of direction, but always still with the touch point of AR and fashion. I mean, Macy's and Disney and the world of movies and all of that. It's still part of the cultural kind of zeitgeist. Fashion has never been more intertwined with culture. So please carry on.
True. So it might actually not even be outside of fashion. It's just changing the boundaries of what fashion means. But anyway, we also are looking at new markets like Asia Pacific and Middle East because we are seeing incredible demand in there. And that's going to be, obviously changing the way our user experience works, changing the way the interaction works. Very exciting things abound. We obviously are expanding the product categories that we do. So right now it's clothes, it's handbags, it's essentially full body costumes. But we do want to be doing a bit more than just that. And there are some very in-demand categories that we have been getting a lot of questions about that we hopefully will be releasing quite soon. Couldn't say what that is, but, we'll see. And of course, last but definitely not least, we have a lot of work on the actual user experience of the technology that we do, because it's nice to have try-on tech, but try-on tech is really nothing without a compelling user journey. And I think we've been very lucky with the one we have right now, but we are going to be working on more engaging, more interactive experiences in there, adding new control schemes, adding virtual assistants, as I mentioned earlier, and much more. So I think there is a lot of opportunity in there too.
We will stay tuned for sure and keep watching out for all of the things that Zero10 is doing, because there is a lot in the pipeline, it seems. So Maxim, thank you so much. It was wonderful to speak to you, and all the best with all that's to come.
Thank you. It's been a great opportunity. I hope this info reaches the people that want to know all of this stuff and they don't get bored to death. Absolutely. Looking forward to all of the new things from the Interline too.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Maxim. Be sure to give Zero10 a follow across their social media platforms to keep up with the latest brand and retail partnerships that they're busy with. Or maybe you'll spot an AR magic mirror next time you're shopping. You won't want to miss who's next on our guest roster for the podcast, so make sure you subscribe to the Interline podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a follow on LinkedIn and Instagram. Last but not least, be sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, where we give you our analysis on the biggest news stories of the week in the world of fashion technology. We cover a broad spectrum of fashion tech topics, with insights into sustainability, the latest legislation to affect the fashion industry, developments in 3D and digital product creation, and so much more. You can access that newsletter on our website by clicking the newsletter icon in the top right corner of the screen, and it will be delivered straight to your inbox every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you soon.